Want to teach your kids financial literacy, but not sure where to start? Greenlight can help. With Greenlight, parents can keep an eye on kids' spending and saving, while kids and teens use a card of their own to build money confidence. As a parent, you can send instant money transfers, set up chores, automate allowance, and more. It's a convenient way to run your household, customized to your family's needs, and the easy way to raise financially smart kids. Get started with Greenlight today and get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey.
The wait is over. That's right. Season 5 of The Kardashians is here. Just when you thought life couldn't get any faster, they're punching it into overdrive. Kris, Kourtney, Kim, Khloe, Kendall, and Kylie are back and continue to defy expectations in all their endeavors. So, get ready to go behind the glitz and glamour of the most iconic family on television. The all-new season of The Kardashians is now streaming on Hulu.
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on AutoTrader. Just you wait. AutoTrader.
And away we go. Hour number 3 of our radio program. That's right. It is the Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network. You all know Glenn Ordway very well. Used to be on the Celtics broadcast team, and then for many, many, many years was the voice of sports talk in Boston. And I thought he'd be a perfect person today to talk a little bit about the Celtics, but also more importantly, remember the great life of Bill Walton, who passed away yesterday at the age of 71. On Glenn's final regular show on WEEI, he had Bill Walton on. And I was listening back to that today. And Bill Walton, to describe Glenn Ordway, said, Glenn was a creative genius with a dialogue that had no direction, and the Big O is kind enough to join us right now. Glenn, first off, my condolences, and appreciate you jumping on board with us today.
Zach, always great talking to you, pal.
Well, thanks so much for coming on. I want to start off, it's funny, we were talking about Bill Walton earlier, and with all the accolades that he had, no one wants to talk about on the court. It's always off the court with Bill. Bill's a big reason why you became a deadhead and a big fan of the Grateful Dead. Is that correct?
That is correct. One day, Bill Walton was gathering up all the players, and he said, I think it was Houston. I can't remember what city we were in. And he said, we're all going to the Grateful Dead concert tonight. And then, you know, Robert Parrish is looking at him, and Dennis Johnson, what the hell is the Grateful Dead? And, of course, I knew what the Grateful Dead was, but the only issue I had with the Grateful Dead is they would start their first song and it would go on for like 25 or 30 minutes. And I'd always try to figure out when is the song ending and the next one beginning. But I liked them. You know, I didn't love them. I liked them. But out of nowhere, and this was so typical of Bill Walton, and I think you're hearing it now, Zach, from so many people, he didn't want anybody to be left out. I was part of the traveling party. He came up to me and he said, Glenn, we're all going to the Grateful Dead concert. You're going. It's simple as that. And I'm sitting there going, yeah, I'm going. I'm in. And then not only did we get to see the concert, but we're, you know, backstage after with Jerry Garcia, Bill Weir, and all the members of the band sitting around with them. And then Walton is just carrying on with these stories going on and on back and forth. It was an education, but that was typical of Bill Walton. But it's funny because Dennis Johnson, Robert Parrish, all the black players ended up showing up and they loved it. They absolutely loved it. That was the thing that Bill had, is that he could bring all of these people together. And somebody said this to me earlier today, that people didn't get worked up at Bill's politics because he was as left as you could possibly be. And I said, no, even in this day and age where everybody is split 50-50, nobody dislikes Bill. You just know where Bill stands, but Bill is not going to discount you. He's not going to suddenly make you void. He's still going to have that conversation with you about how he feels about certain things in the world. And those were some of the great things. And that's why you're hearing so many wonderful things about Bill Walton.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy where you talked about how Bill just didn't want anyone left out. You know, it's a lot more of animosity now between players and the media. Like, we all have our relationships with players, but I could never see now a team broadcaster going to a concert with a player. No. It just wouldn't happen.
Zach, I probably hadn't talked to him. I think his Hall of Fame induction was 1993, I believe. And I hadn't talked to him in a couple of years. And out of nowhere, I get a phone call. And he says, Glenn, Bill Walton. And then he tells me that he's getting inducted in the Hall of Fame. Of course, I knew he was getting inducted in the Hall of Fame. And he invites me to the ceremony. Wow. It's right down the street. It's in Springfield. It's like 2 hours away from me, right down the road. And of course, I was there. And it was just magnificent. It was unbelievable. But that is what he was like. Every person in that building, to him, really counted. It was part of what he thought was his Boston or Boston Celtics experience, which I will tell you, you asked me as a basketball player, and we all know what a great college basketball player he was. He probably was the greatest college basketball player of all time. In the pros, he had so many injuries. Early days with Portland was some set success, and then the back goes and the knees go and the ankles go and everything else goes. He comes to the Boston Celtics, and he's so excited. I remember that first summer, he comes to the Boston Celtics in a trade, and he's just so excited. His career has been revived, even though he left, you know, San Diego, his hometown. This was incredible. So he goes out and plays the first game of that season, and you probably, well, some people in the audience remember that that season was highly touted. Everybody looked at the 85-86 Celtics and said, this could be one of the all-time great teams. They had depth. They had great stars, great starting lineup. They could do everything offensively and defensively. First game is in New Jersey. It's a team that wasn't really good. They only won 39 games that season. Bill goes out there and just absolutely stinks out the joint. He is absolutely horrendous in the game. He had 7 turnovers. He got into foul trouble early. He had 5 fouls playing in the fourth quarter. Celtics had built up a 12-point lead. They lose that game in overtime. And one of the main reasons they lost that game is how bad Bill was. So the game is over. Players are in the locker room and then on the team bus. And Bill's going around apologizing to all of the players because now this is the highly touted Bill Walton, the great redhead, and he's coming to Boston, and this first game was disastrous. He comes out and greets the media because they were asking about his first experience. He said, I am a disgrace to the game of basketball. I should not be on this team or any team. I am a complete disgrace to basketball. Well, I remember on the bus, he was going around apologizing, and then on the team plane apologizing to everybody, and the players were just laughing. And it kind of broke the ice. And from there on, he got better every game. I think 3-4 games into it, it was a Milwaukee game, and he was absolutely terrific. And, of course, he won the 6th player of the year that year. But just to see him as he had built up this coming to Boston, how the revival of his career, and to see it all crash in New Jersey of all places. But that was Bill. He was just totally honest, and he was totally honest about himself.
And Glenn Orway here with us, Boston royalty in the sports media world, is Remember the Life of Bill Walton. As we talked about earlier, it's a different time now, but yep. One of my favorite stories ever is when he goes to Boston, he's in the hospital trying to get cleared for the physical. The doctor's like, we can't clear him. And Red Auerbach comes walking into a hospital, smoking a cigar. And he's like, this is my bleeping show. All the doctors out. Hey, Bill, you want to play? You good to play? And then boom, that's how he gets cleared to play. That's a great story,
part,
too.
Yeah, the best part of that story is Red going into Mass General Hospital with a cigar as if it's alive. You can walk into a hospital, you can smoke a cigar. Even in those days, I think that was off limits. But, I mean, that was Bill Walton. He wanted to play in the worst way. I watched him through that entire season, Zach. And I'm telling you, he played 80 games that year. That was the most he had ever played in the NBA. Most of his seasons were 35, 45. I think he had one game of 65. And he played 80 games, and he averaged just under 20 minutes a game, I believe, during that season. But let me tell you, he had to will himself to play many of those games. He had those legs in ice buckets just to get going out on the court to be able to play those games. But that told me how important that season was for him.
Sure.
He had known that he had had real setbacks in his career, that his career was not what he thought it was going to be. But this was a way in which he could make it all good again. And he did. And unfortunately, the next year, he ended up busting his ankle or whatever, believe it or not, on an exercise bike. It was something as weird as that. But he was just a blast to be around, so much fun, And you're right. He came on my last show. He called my show on my last show because we had built up a good friendship over the years, and he was a regular guest. And then the problem I had with him is that when you would bring him on, and you know, you get a 15-minute segment, a 17-minute segment or whatever, you'd ask him one question. And then 15 minutes later, you'd have to interrupt him. Bill, Bill, we only have one segment here. And he did call that last show, and I hate to say it because you correctly termed what he said about me, but he said that about a lot of people because Bill, he did. It was not unique. He said it about a lot of people.
You don't have to tell anyone that, Glenn. It's a great line.
Yeah, but that's what Bill was like. He embraced other people, and you know, to the point where he was interested in who you were and what you do and what life is like for you. And you tell me, you've been around professional sports long enough now, you don't see a lot of people that do that.
No.
You know, they want the attention on them, but they're never interested in anybody else. And he was interested in the garden crew, the security crew, and going up to them and asking them questions about their lives. That was Bill Walton.
Well, that's the crazy part. Like in the last 24 hours since we found out about this, you know, I understand he had a lot of injuries, but still a Hall of Famer, so many accolades, but everyone wants to talk about stories that really have nothing to do with basketball for a guy that should be remembered for basketball, but he won't be because of his unique ability, especially, you know, you had a different perspective during the career, but for a lot of people after his playing career.
Yep. Yeah, no, I think if he were healthy, you would see a career out of him that would be very similar to what you're seeing with Jokic right now out in Denver. The difference was Jokic can dribble the ball, take the ball up the floor. You know, Bill had great mobility up and down the floor when he was healthy, but his key was passing. So when he got the ball in the backcourt, he's making that first quick pass into the front court. Then he's running, and then he's operating the offense. But I would say a very similar game, other than the dribbling aspect of Jokic. He would have been a dominant force as a pro. And we might be talking about him in the same conversation with Michael Jordan and Kobe and all of the other greats.
Yeah, it's kind of wild because you go through it, right? He won two championships in college, two in the pros, was an MVP in the pros, finals MVP as well, three-time player of the year in college basketball. You talked about the sixth man with the Celtics. Like, that's a career most people would do anything for. And for Bill, most people just go, oh, imagine if he didn't get hurt. So it's a great conversation to bring up. There's no doubt about it, Glenn.
No question.
Wrapping up with Glenn Orbaugh. Yeah, go ahead. Sorry.
No, I was just going to say that everybody's saying it in the last couple of days. Imagine if he were somewhat healthy. Because you talk about, forget about somewhat healthy. He had a disastrous career injury-wise. You want to look at the resume of injuries through his career, it was a complete disaster. And yet you just read his playing resume, still pretty damn good.
Man, no doubt about it. All right, assuming Glenn Ordway, who's here with us now, that it's going to be the Mavericks up against the Celtics with Dallas up 3-0, they could close it out tonight. Yep. Give me a little feel of that with Kyrie going back to play a fan base that deservedly so should want nothing to do with him and will boo the crap out of him with the way that Kyrie behaved in Boston.
Well, I'll tell you what, that's going to be fantastic theater. I thought Dallas would be really good in the postseason. I did not think they would win it. I thought it was going to be Denver, but here it is. It looks like it's going to be Dallas. Kyrie has been great throughout the playoffs, and he and Luka, I've heard people say it, it is the greatest offensive backcourt in the history of the NBA. The interesting part about Kyrie is since he left the Celtics, he has been absolute toast in virtually every single game against them. It's almost like the nerves get to him. He tries to do too much, and he ends up making a lot of mistakes. So to watch him is going to be fascinating. Luka, obviously, we know what he's like when the game is on the line in clutch. We'll take that three from 35 feet away and then fall somewhere into the stands. We know what he's like. I just think, Zach, that the Celtics are just more talented. And I know what Dallas has gotten out of Daniel Gafford and what they've got out of Derek Lively. They've changed their game dramatically. They can now defend where they couldn't earlier in the season. So they do a lot of things that are really good, but they rely totally on Luka and Kyrie. If one of those two guys does not perform at an extremely high level, we're talking 30-plus points, I think Dallas has trouble. When you look at Boston right now, Tatum can have an off night. Brown can have an off night. You have other guys that can pick up the slack. They can put five guys on the floor. Any one of them can score, which means they're very difficult to defend. Because if you try to shut down Tatum or try to shut down Brown, you try to double, you try to trap them, then Derek White is going to beat you from the corner. Drew Holiday is going to beat you from the wing. That's where they are. They are just so talented and so deep, and guys can do it. Now, I'll put one caveat into all of this. A Kristaps Porzingis has got to play in this series.
I agree.
They need him in the series. I was looking at the possibility of Minnesota where they really would have needed him. But even the way Lively and Gafford are playing right now, they're much better up front. They get a lot of pick and roll action with the bigs above the rim. So I really think you need him. And Porzingis proved this year when he's healthy, he's a great defender of the pick and roll. He can pick up on the guard because of his wingspan. And so he, off of switches, really is a plus for you sometimes on a smaller player, which usually isn't the case. So I think he's a must to play in the series. If he plays, I think Boston wins it in six.
And the two things, I'll just touch on what you said. Drew Holiday, I think Glenn Orey, he's the missing piece for the Celtics, a guy that won a championship before Milwaukee. And Kyrie, right, in Boston, it was a disaster how it ended, his fault. It was a disaster in Brooklyn, his fault. I think the respect he has for Jason Kidd, him growing up as a Nets fan and Kidd was his favorite player, I think got Kyrie to lock in. And you haven't really heard a lot of praise for Jason Kidd, who we all know what he did on a basketball court as a player. But
yeah,
Glenn, he was a failure as a coach in Brooklyn and Milwaukee, and now he's got things going in Dallas.
Well, he's got Luka to bail him out of a lot. So that's a big
that
plus.
Helps.
I mean, Luka is one of those players that when you're in trouble, he will come up with the impossible shot. Now, I don't think teams have done a good enough job in these playoffs of wearing him down at the defensive end. My guess is that's what Boston is going to try to do. But getting back to Kyrie, and you're right, the biggest issue that Jason Kidd is going to have is to get confidence into Kyrie Irving so that they can get Kyrie playing the way he's played so far in these playoffs against a team that he's never played against, that he has demons in his head. And you said it perfectly. They're going to call his name. Those fans are going to boo him and call his name every time he touches the ball. I think he should wear earplugs for that series. Earplugs.
It's not a bad suggestion. Before we let you run, I forget which former NBA player said it, but I got to get your reaction on this because it made me chuckle. And I love Luka Doncic, but one of the former players said, Luka is already better than Larry Bird. Your thoughts, Big O, on that?
Oh, listen. He
Chandler
has
Parsons.
Oh, my God. Oh. You know, this is what happens in this day and age. And I'm not putting down, you know, the current media, but I think there's a tendency, and maybe my generation did it as well. Did you forget about it? Because we had an excuse. We didn't have an awful lot of video. You guys have got all sorts of video. But it's amazing how much we dismiss stuff that is in the past. I was having an argument with somebody the other day, and they were talking about ball handlers. And I was talking about they didn't include Magic Johnson in the group. I said, are you kidding me? You're not including Magic Johnson in that? And then, nah, he wasn't that good because he was tall.
Geez.
I said he was tall and he could handle the ball. He
makes
could
him
protect
even
the ball. But getting back to your point, there are a lot of similarities to their games. Eye-hand coordination, great court vision, can see everybody in the floor, can throw passes that you sit there and go, wow, that's an unbelievable pass. The difference is, and maybe Luka will get out of it, there are times when I watch Luka in the game in which I sit there and say, God, he's running up and down the court like he's me, you know, like he's overweight and like out of shape. I mean, don't you get that feeling sometimes when you watch him? And then he'll come right back and make a phenomenal play. So obviously, he's in good enough shape to be able to play at this level. Larry, early on in his career, I think, had some of those issues as well. But he got over them very, very quickly because he realized the schedule is too complicated. There are too many games. You have to make sure you're in phenomenal shape. So I think there's a difference. Could Luka, when it's all said and done, go down in history in a similar place as Larry Bird? I think that's possible. For anybody to say it right now, virtually at, you know, 5, 6, 7 years into somebody's career, come on. What are we doing here? Come on.
Last thing I'll ask you, Glenn Ordway. What was Bill Walton really, really like at a dead show?
He knew every word to every song. You'll be amazed at this. He was a little bit high. on some of those shows a little bit.
Just a tad.
But he knew every song. He knew every riff. He knew everything that was coming up next on the concert. He once claimed that he had gone to over 850 Grateful Dead concerts. So I probably caught him at, I'm going to guess somewhere at 175, maybe 200 or something like that. And at that point, he was totally engaged. And the band, I can tell you from being around him and the band members, the band loved him. I mean, loved him. He was their number one fan, and they showed total respect for him. He really was a great guy. As somebody said to me, how would you describe him? He said, genuine, just down to earth and genuine. And unfortunately, there aren't enough people like that. We lost a good one.
Well said. Once again, my condolences as you lost your friend Bill Walton yesterday. He's the great Glenn Ordway. Glenn, you look great. You sound great. Always great to connect with you.
Thank you, Zach. It's always great talking to you, bud. Have a good one.
You got it. There he is, the Big O. Sensational stuff with him. We'll take a timeout. We're 100 days away from the NFL season. What are the five biggest storylines entering the 2024 NFL season? We'll get to that next.
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader, like that car riding your tail. Or if you're tailgating right now, all those cars doubling as kitchens and living rooms are on AutoTrader too. Are you working out and listening to this ad at the same time? Well, multitasking pro, cars like the ones in the gym parking lot are for sale on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on AutoTrader. Just you wait. AutoTrader.
Want to teach your kids financial literacy, but not sure where to start? Greenlight can help. With Greenlight, parents can keep an eye on kids' spending and saving, while kids and teens use a card of their own to build money confidence. As a parent, you can send instant money transfers, set up chores, automate allowance, and more. It's a convenient way to run your household, customized to your family's needs, and the easy way to raise financially smart kids. Get started with Greenlight today and get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey.
The wait is over. That's right. Season 5 of The Kardashians is here. Just when you thought life couldn't get any faster, they're punching it into overdrive. Kris, Kourtney, Kim, Khloe, Kendall, and Kylie are back and continue to defy expectations in all their endeavors. So, get ready to go behind the glitz and glamour of the most iconic family on television. The all-new season of The Kardashians is now streaming on Hulu.
All right, it is the Infinity Sports Network, and that's right, it is the Zach Gelb Show. We are 100 days away from the start of the NFL season. Hallelujah. That's going to be awesome as we kick off that Thursday night with Derrick Henry and Lamar Jackson of the Baltimore Ravens going to Arrowhead to go up against the back-to-back Super Bowl champion, Kansas City. How about those Chiefs? And then that Friday in Brazil, we have the Packers and the Eagles, which I feel, you know, I usually never complain when there's football on, but to go from a Thursday game into a Friday game to start off the season, I feel like you need a little bit of a breather. I feel like we could wait till Sunday to get the next slate of games, but they want to give you an isolated game with that game being played in Brazil. But 100 days away from kickoff in the NFL with the Chiefs and the Ravens, what are the five biggest storylines entering the NFL season? And Stu, be my checks and balances here if you have any other one that you want to throw into the hopper, throw into the conversation, Manny as well. In at number five, I think it's the Bills and the Eagles. Did they miss their window? The Bills were right there for a bunch of years, never got to a Super Bowl. Now you no longer have Stephon Diggs. He's off to the Texans. And by the way, Nico Collins, this happened right before he brought on the Big O, Glenn Ordway, to remember the life of Bill Walton, and he was absolutely sensational. Big O talking about his memories with his friend Bill Walton. But Nico Collins, who's a friend of the show, has been on the show a bunch, and I'm a big fan of his, who's now wide receiver two but played like a wide receiver one when he was the wide receiver one for the Texans last year. He got inked to a three-year contract extension from Tom Pelissero and Adam Schefter. They both had this about 25 minutes or so ago to a three-year $72 million deal. So congratulations to Nico Collins of the Texans. But with Stephon Diggs now in Houston, you have Keon Coleman, you got Dalton Kincaid, James Cook, and still number 17, Josh Allen. And in Philadelphia, you got the weapons. You know, you got Goddard. You got Saquon. You got A.J. Brown. You got Devontae Smith, both on new deals. Did both of those teams, Eagles getting to a Super Bowl, Bills being to an AFC championship game, and then just having problems in the second round, did they miss their window? And I still think both teams are alive to go to a Super Bowl this year. It's easier in the NFC. Jalen Hurts is going to, I think, revert back to the player he was 2 years ago rather than the player we saw last year. And for the Buffalo Bills, you have arguably the second-best quarterback in football. I think he's the third. But you still have Josh Allen. As long as you have Josh Allen, you got a chance to go win a Super Bowl and go be a contender. So in at number five, the Bills and the Eagles, did they miss their window? That's the storyline entering this season. In at number four, is Caleb Williams really the Bears' savior? I think the Bears can go 9-8. I think they will go 9-8 this year. I think they're going to make the playoffs in year one of Caleb Williams. And Caleb Williams, there's a chance a wide receiver could win Rookie of the Year this year. But right now, I would say Caleb Williams is going to win Offensive Rookie of the Year. But for the Bears in year one, there are signs that someone can be the guy. But if we walk away from year one and Caleb Williams had an underwhelming season, I don't think it's fair to say that quickly he's not the guy. But in Chicago, that will create a lot of PTSD because of how many guys were not the guys at the quarterback position in Chicago. In at number three. Sorry to exclude Kirk Cousins from this conversation, but he's just not in the caliber of name as these guys. Is Aaron Rodgers and Joe Burrow coming back? Remember, the Bengals, Burrow had an injury before the season started. He played the first few weeks of the season. We thought he was finally getting back to form. Remember, the Bengals started playing better after another sloppy start, and then he had the thumb injury and the hand injury. Right when that team was starting to be a legitimate force. And obviously for Rodgers, 3-4 plays into the season, had the Achilles injury. But Rodgers and Burrow returning, Bengals, bona fide Super Bowl contender. The Jets, I think their ceiling's getting to an AFC championship game. I don't think they will. But if you have Aaron Rodgers, I know he hasn't been to a Super Bowl and only been to one. He hasn't been to a Super Bowl in a long time. He's only won one Super Bowl. But the Jets have a window here as long as Aaron Rodgers is there. In at number two, is this the Lions' year? Detroit goes into this season as a legitimate Super Bowl contender. They will be a lot of people's pick to not only represent the NFC in the Super Bowl, but to win the Super Bowl. Can Jared Goff, who has a new deal, Amon-Ra St. Brown, who has a new deal, Aiden Hutchinson, who's been a good player so far in this league, can they, with Sam LaPorta as well and Dan Campbell as the coach, can they, who they went to an NFC championship game last year and blew the lead to Niners, can they not only get to the Super Bowl, but then they could win it? And then in at number one, the biggest storyline entering the season, how many games will Taylor Swift go to with the Kansas City Chiefs, a.k.a. the Kansas City Chiefs? Are they going to three-peat? They've won back-to-back, first team to do so since the 2003 and 2004 New England Patriots when they won Super Bowls 38 and 39. They have done a two-peat. Now can they be the first team to three-peat in a Super Bowl, and can they go back-to-back-to-back? So those are my five biggest storylines entering the NFL season, 100 days away from the start of the season, with the Eagles going up again, or excuse me, with the Ravens going up against the Kansas City Chiefs. And then on that Friday, when you're going to be 101 days from today at the start of the NFL season, it is the Eagles and the Green Bay Packers in Brazil. So those are my top five storylines. Bills and Eagles, have they missed their window? Is Caleb Williams the guy? Aaron Rodgers and Joe Burrow returning? Is this the Lions' year and the Chiefs' quest to three-peat? Stu, is there a storyline that you would like to throw into the conversation when I just gave you those five storylines out there?
Yeah, I think Cousins and the Falcons, what they do, if they can kind of make the jump to, you know, being in the contenders in the NFC, I think that is, to me, intriguing.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing with the Falcons, and I guess it all has to do together, is will Kirk Cousins be good enough where the fans aren't calling for Michael Penix Jr.? Because ideally with that contract, when they give $100 million guaranteed, they want Kirk Cousins to be the guy for 2 years and then hand the baton over to Michael Penix Jr. If Kirk is rusty coming off the Achilles, and if Kirk is not at a very good level, he's not a great quarterback, but he's a good quarterback, very good quarterback, then you create a scenario where fans are going to be like, well, Michael Penix Jr. is NFL ready. He was the 8th overall pick of the draft. Maybe you end up wanting to see Michael Penix Jr. a little bit sooner than what the Falcons kind of devised up when they selected Michael Penix Jr. in at 8. Manny, give me a storyline. What do you got?
I think I'm going to go with the Texans and what they were able to build last season. See how they can continue that. See how C.J. Stroud continues to rise as one of the quarterbacks here in this league. Maybe rise up to a different tier. See how Nico Collins now reacts after getting paid, and you know, see how that all works out as well with Stephon Diggs. See how the Houston Texans work out. They might make some noise in the South.
In the South, how about in the whole AFC? I think they could win the AFC. I don't think that's crazy to say the Texans can win the AFC. They dipped their toe in the water last year. They won a playoff game, and then they got to the second round and they lost to the Ravens. And the Ravens finally showed up in the second half. But that's a team that they were aggressive. They were aggressive this offseason. Some of those teams that were ahead of schedule would just be complacent. They'll sit there, oh, no, we're going to rest them, what we did. And they went out and they got Daniel Hunter. They went out and they got Stephon Diggs. I like the offseason that the Houston Texans had. And C.J. Stroud, to me, he's an MVP candidate entering this year. I believe right now he's the fifth-best quarterback in football. That division, though, did get better. The Jaguars should bounce back. The Colts last year didn't have Anthony Richardson, almost made the playoffs. And even Tennessee, I don't know what to expect out of Will Levis, to be fair. So did you guys see that report about Will Levis over the weekend?
Yes, a little bit, yeah.
There was like, I don't know if that's true, but there was rumors of a Will Levis, how should I say this on the radio to not cross the line, nookie tape that was going around?
Homemade video?
Yeah, I guess it is a homemade video. Yeah. But there was supposedly some video of Will Levis. I cannot confirm the video because I have not seen the video, but I just saw that was on the rumor part of Twitter. But then there was also some rumor this weekend that I don't know who it was, but someone's like in her 20s, and there was reports that she was she's having a baby, and that Mark Davis was the father, and there's a big age difference there. But then she hasn't tweeted in, I think, like 3 years, and she went on Twitter to clear up. Nope. Mark Davis with that haircut, he is not the father. I feel like we're on the Maury show, right? You are not the father. That's what I felt like I was just on. But that's a Texans team that they're putting Will Levis in a position to fairly evaluate him. We're getting Calvin Ridley. You have DeAndre Hopkins. You got Tony Pollard. They traded for Legarius Sneed. You're bringing an offensive-minded coach. Callahan and his dad's on the staff, who's a great offensive line coach, too. That's a team and a division that is well-rounded, so it's going to be tough for the Texans, and no one's going to be sleeping on the Texans this year. So those are some big storylines entering the NFL season as we are officially 100 days away from the start of the new year in the NFL. Okay, we'll take a break. When we come on back, we'll update you some of the biggest stories in the world of sports with some audio. We call that the News Brief. Update time first, though. Here is the Ackman, Rich Ackerman.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Welcome to Nada Yada Island.
This season on Nada Yada Island.
When we were new, they spoiled me. They even gave me a phone. But then, it's like I didn't exist.
Don't take yada yada from your wireless carrier. Now with Metro, get that new customer feeling again and again. Introducing Metro Flex. Free 5G phones when you join, same deals as new customers when you stay. Only at Metro by T-Mobile. Just bring your number and ID and sign up for an eligible plan. After 12 months, trade in and get our best deals on select devices.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This portion of the show is brought to you by Wesley Financial. Stuck in a timeshare and want out? Contact Wesley Financial Group now and get a free timeshare exit information. Get at WesleyFinancialGroup.com. Time to update you on some of the biggest stories in the world of sports with some audio. Manny Rodriguez, let's get to a news brief.
Time for your daily news brief. We get you caught up on the rumors, reports, and reconnaissance from the day in sports.
Let's hear from Jaylen Brown. Celtics advance to the NBA Finals. Here is the Celtics, Jaylen Brown. I'm winning the Eastern Conference Finals MVP award.
I wasn't expecting that at all. You know, I'll never win. So I was just happy that we won. And give credit to Indiana. You know, they played us tough. I know, like, people think that Indiana wasn't a good team or whatever the case may be. I mean, I thought they were as tough as anybody we've played all season.
You know, I thought Brown was going to win it, but I wasn't fully sure. Like, I don't even ever think of the conference finals awards until they announce it. But when they had Cedric Maxwell out there to do the honor, I'm like, oh, who's going to be it? Because there's not really a lot of memorable moments from that series because it was a sweep. And yes, it was a very close series, even though it was a sweep, because the Pacers, they gagged away games 1, 3, and 4. And then I go on Thursday, Brown had 40 points. So I thought quickly he'll probably win it. But you could have made a case for a bunch of players in that series. But good on Jaylen Brown. And the team's reaction was pretty damn cool and shows the synergy of that group as they mob Jaylen Brown the moment that was that announcement was made by Cedric Cornbread Maxwell. Here is Jaylen Brown. He wants more credit.
I think I'm one of the best two-way wings, guards, whatever you want to say in this game. You know, I thought this year I've taken a level and I've increased it. I took the matchup. I picked up guys full court. I chased guys off screens. I battled with bigs, and I felt like I should have been all defensive. And that probably hurt me the most, because that's one of the things that I set out in the season that I wanted to be.
But let's be real with the Celtics. It doesn't matter what individual accolades you get this year or you didn't get. It didn't matter if this player got this award or if he didn't. The only thing that matters for the Celtics, and this has been since the start of the season, is winning the championship. Like, if the Celtics lose to, let's assume it's the Mavericks, if they lose this series, this, you know, series will be, or the season will be viewed as a failure. Even though you were the best record, you're the best team, obviously, in the East by 15 games from the first of the two. You lost two games to get to the finals. No one's going to care. It's like Lamar winning an MVP this past year. No one cares if you don't get the job done when you've been there before. And you have to get the job done. But it was the platform where Jaylen Brown wanted to talk about that. And we're going to have a lot to talk about, because the NBA Finals doesn't get underway until June 6th. And they're not going to move that date. And the Western Conference Finals is in this epic series yet. I don't think it will be, because the Mavericks are up 3-0 and they can close the sucker out tonight. Talking about that series, let's go to Luka Doncic. He has very high praise for Kyrie Irving.
They call him, some people, Mr. Fourth Quarter, right? Just amazing. He scored, what, 33? And how many he scored in the fourth?
12.
It felt like 20. Huh. Yeah, it's amazing, you know. He's born for this situation. He born it for the clutch situations. So we just give the ball to him.
And Kyrie, for such a long time, was such a fun player to watch. We all remember his great three-point shot in Cleveland in the NBA Finals to defeat the Golden State Warriors and have that epic comeback. But then with how he acted in Boston and the disgraceful things that he did in Brooklyn, everyone just kind of gave up on Kyrie. And Jason Kidd, I really do believe, saved his career, because we already knew Kyrie was a great player. But he was getting off the track and he was doing a lot of dumb things. And because Jason Kidd was Kyrie's idol, like, growing up, and Kyrie had so much mutual respect for him, I think that was able to reel Kyrie back in and get focus back on the basketball And look at what he's doing now, one win away from going back to an NBA Finals. Bill Walton passed away yesterday at the age of 71. Well, let's play some great Bill Walton moments. Here is Bill Walton on ESPN as an analyst breaking down, always had these great Pac-12 matchups, a UCLA-Washington game by comparing Huskies and Bears doing battle.
Have you ever seen Huskies and Bears fight? Because usually what happens when that happens is that the dogs come in and they nip and tuck around the Bears, who just kind of stand there and look around, and then eventually the Bears get tired of these little antagonistic Huskies. So the Bears, they just come and they just smash the Huskies. And that's what's happened right now.
What are you talking about?
I'm talking about Bears and Huskies, the matchup that we have tonight.
Stephen A. Smith once got a lot of heat for this. Remember when he was talking about Lamar Odom and he was like, and you have Lamar Odom, and he paused and he goes, who was on crack? Anytime you watch Bill Walton call a Pac-12 game, you're like, what is he on? Because he would just ramble and ramble and ramble and ramble, and it would have nothing to do with the game, but it was absolutely hilarious for a Pac-12 game that most people didn't really care about. Like if you were an East Coast viewer, but you stayed up to watch because it was so entertaining. By the way, who would win, Husky or Bear? Manny?
A Bear.
Stu?
Bear.
Yeah, I would agree. It would be a Bear, too. I just wanted to say, sometimes producers and board ops here, they say crazy things when you give them an opportunity to put a microphone in front of their face. Let's go to Bill Walton. This is from 2010. He compares Boris Diaw to Beethoven.
Okay. And when you look at Boris Diaw, what he's done to this franchise, he's changed everything. And as we celebrate his brilliance, and when you talk to Boris Diaw, what a classical human being he is. It was 201 years ago today.
Yeah.
With Beethoven's Symphony No. 3 in E flat, which escorted in the age of romanticism in music. And when I look at Boris Diaw, I think of Beethoven and the age of the romantics. This guy has got it all.
That was the first time and the last time an NBA player will be compared to Beethoven. Let me give you two more of Bill Walton. Bill Walton and why he's the luckiest man in the world. This was on the Dan Le Batard show.
I'm the luckiest dude in the world, man. I was born into a world of hope, optimism, peace, love, books, and music. I got to know Dan Le Batard years and years ago. I got to know Stu Goss. I got to know all the other guys on your team there. I'm a team guy, and I'm really enjoying this year's NBA Finals. I found basketball when I was 8 years old, 3 years after I found my bike. And then, just 1 year later, I found Chick Hearn on the radio, and that changed everything for me. When I was 15, I found the Grateful Dead, Stu Gotch, UCLA, and John Wooden.
That's awesome. I don't know why. I shouldn't react this way, but every time I hear Stu Gotz's name now, all I think about how close he was to replacing Spike as our boss, if you believe the media reports. Last one, here is Bill Walton, NBC Sports Chicago. He was at a White Sox-Angels game, and he was on the broadcast in 2019 explaining his understanding of baseball.
Well, I understand that it starts, and then you play,
yeah,
but that the offense can't touch the ball. And that the defense goes first. And that there's no time limits. And you just go until somebody says, it's over. Sounds very much like a dead show.
It's a timeless game.
I love timelessness. You're timeless.
Well, the one
I've been dead for quite a few years.
What a clip. And you even hear the music in the background where it's like, okay, we're leaving the inning. Almost as if you're at an award show and the speaker's going too long and they play the music underneath you to get you off the stage. But, man, all those clips, they bring a smile to your face and they make you just laugh, and that's what Bill Walton did. He made you laugh. Like, as great of a player he was in college, the 3 Collegiate Player of the Year awards, the 2 NCAA championships, getting to the NBA, winning a championship in Portland, and winning one in Boston, winning a finals MVP, winning a league MVP, a sixth man of the year. And hey, he had a great career. And there were so many injuries where he could have had an even better career. But he still had a Hall of Fame career. Like, let's not forget about that. But when you talk about Bill Walton, no one talks about this championship or that MVP award or this finals MVP. You talk about after basketball and all just the fun stories that he provided to us. And really, truly, you know, sometimes people say this about people when they pass away and it's just like a nice thing to say, but this time you truly mean it. Bill Walton, who passed away yesterday at the age of 71 after a battle of cancer, truly the life of the party. Last one. Let's go to SiriusXM Mad Dog Radio. I think this was Adam Schein. Aaron Rodgers says the Jets are must-watch TV.
We are must-watch TV, and that's pretty obvious. Everybody knows that. Whether you love me or hate me, people want to see me play. They enjoy watching me play.
Yeah, you're not wrong, but you're the guy that said you wanted to eliminate distractions, and you provide a lot of distractions this offseason. But in terms of your football ability, sure, people love watching Aaron Rodgers play. And they are must-see TV. Doesn't mean that they're going to be great. Doesn't mean that they're going to win a Super Bowl. But the Jets are a team that can make the playoffs and make some noise in the playoffs. They could also be a team that has a solid regular season, and because of how crowded the AFC is, miss the playoffs as well. Finally, I'll give you one more. Here's Stars Radio, Jason Robertson. Here was the hat trick to give the Stars a 4-3 lead in the third.
Dallas still keeps possession. Robertson in deep. Baked it. He scored! A hat trick goal! Robertson outweighed Skinner. Looked for a window. Banked it off him and in. And with 8:06 to go, Robertson's hat trick gives Dallas the 4-3 lead.
And what a game that was. Oilers are up 2-0 in game three. Then the Stars had three goals in the second period. Oilers get a Henrik goal to end the second. And then in the third, you get two, one being an empty netter, and the Stars take a 2-1 series lead. We'll talk to you tomorrow, everybody. We out. Bye-bye. Peace.
The wait is over. That's right. Season 5 of The Kardashians is here. Just when you thought life couldn't get any faster, they're punching it into overdrive. Kris, Kourtney, Kim, Khloe, Kendall, and Kylie are back and continue to defy expectations in all their endeavors. So, get ready to go behind the glitz and glamour of the most iconic family on television. The all-new season of The Kardashians is now streaming on Hulu.
Welcome to Nada Yada Island.
This season on Nada Yada Island.
When we were new, they spoiled me. They even gave me a phone. But then, it's like I didn't exist.
Don't take Yada Yada from your wireless carrier. Now with Metro, get that new customer feeling again and again. Introducing Metro Flex. Free 5G phones when you join, same deals as new customers when you stay. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
Just bring your number and ID and sign up for an eligible plan. After 12 months, trade in and get our best deals on select devices.
Listen as Selenia tells us why she chose to vaccinate her daughter.
I definitely felt like the pros far outweighed the cons, the diseases that I am protecting my child against. They're still here. And at the end of the day, it's my job as a mother to keep my child safe.
Talk to your child's doctor and learn more at whyvaccines.com. Brought to you by Merck.